A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus came to the neighborhood of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples this question: "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptizer, others say Elijah, still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "And you," he said, "who do you say that I am?" "You are the Messiah," Simon Peter answered, "the firstborn of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, begot of Jonah. No mere mortal has revealed this to you, but my Abba God in heaven. I also tell you this, your name now is Rock, and on bedrock like this I will build my community, and the jaws of death will not prevail against it. Here, I will give you the keys to the reign of heaven. Whatever you declare bound on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you declare loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then Jesus strictly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The good news according to Matthew.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When was the earliest moment that you can remember having faith, being introduced to truth, perhaps trusting in God, believing there was a divine being of some sort? God? It is a different moment and a different truth for all of us here. That was not always the case. Some years ago, perhaps when we were children, belonging to the Christian church was enough to give us a standard, a conventional belief, a faith, as it were. But we realize that not everyone has a faith background. Early, childlike faith is not a given. And perhaps more importantly, even if we had a faith background, with advanced years, we may have come to question, to doubt what was spoon-fed to us at an earlier point in our lives. In the best case scenario, faith grows and develops. In other words, faith is not a fabric of a single color and a one-dimensional weaving. Faith is rather a tapestry with multiple colors, designs, layers, and textures. Today we will take our cues from Anne Lamott and from deconstructing the gospel, which simply means using the widely accepted tools of examining scripture. Also, I will draw from a preacher, Tony Campolo, and from Joan Chichester to create for us this weaving process, identifying strands that you may use to create a rich, beautiful tapestry that you may call faith. In Anne Lamott's book, Grace Eventually, Thoughts on Faith, she writes in the prelude of the book about truth. I believe she starts there because when we were told what to believe, where to put our faith, we were told it was true. Anne Lamott's book about faith was written nearly 20 years ago. Truth in 2007 was already under fire. The truth, in quotations, was being challenged even then. It could be that was a good thing, because in examining, you come down to own a thing more completely. Now, in these days of ours, in my view, most people seem to be even less willing to accept that there is anything called truth. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's hear from Lamott and my other sources and go about the process of weaving a tapestry and finding faith. So Lamott writes about truth. She says, "There is not much truth being told in the world. There never was. This has proven to be a major disappointment to some of us. When I was a child, I thought grown-ups and teachers knew the truth because they told me they did. It took me years to discover that the first step in finding out the truth is to begin unlearning almost everything adults had taught me. They were all running around in mazes like everyone else. By the time I dropped out of college at 19, I'd acquired a basic and wildly ecumenical faith, cobbled together from strands I'd gathered from reading various wisdom traditions, Native American, Hindu, feminist, Buddhist, even Christian, in a heart-stopping, kick-starting encounter with Kierkegaard, fear and trembling. My best teachers were mess, failure, death, mistakes, and people I hated, including myself. From books, I learned that God was an equal opportunity employer, that it was possible to experience the divine anywhere. Anywhere you could see the sun and moon rise or set or burn through the fog. Lamott's process was finding her own faith or truth. It was searching and seeking. From Lamott, we see that faith is about a journey as well as the journey's end. Today's gospel is set in Caesarea Philippi. There we hear the testimony of Peter. The location of this unveiling of Jesus' identity was not accidental. Jesus had led the disciples there, far from Jerusalem, where the civil and religious authorities were seated. So it was a little more protected than being right in Jerusalem. Our gospel contains Peter's testimony of faith in Jesus. Who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Peter replies, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." This is a rather dramatic unveiling of Jesus' identity. This claim of being Messiah would be dangerous for Jesus, so he told them, "Keep it quiet." Again, because it would be taken as a challenge to the powers that be. Yes, this was certainly a statement of faith, but what exactly was understood by Peter's testimony? First, Messiah. Many Jews of Jesus' day believed that God would send an anointed king who would be the spearhead of the movement that would free Israel from oppression and bring justice and peace in the world at last. Nobody knew exactly what the Messiah would be like, but there were many theories. A warrior, the one who would establish true temple worship, the one who would bring God's kingdom finally on earth as it is in heaven. No one knew exactly what it would look like on earth. One thing was certain. A would-be Messiah would attract attention and hostility from the authorities. Peter also proclaimed that Jesus was the mouthpiece of God, God's king, who would speak against and supplant the evil rulers of the time. He also proclaimed him to be Son of the living God. At this time, that doesn't mean second person of the Trinity. That wouldn't come until after the resurrection, when they came to believe that he was intimately associated with Israel's God. No, Son of God was a biblical phrase indicating that the chosen one was in particular relationship to God, God's special representative. Having faith is a struggle. As Peter and the disciples wrestled with what it meant, and as our modern-day prophet Joan Chittister says, the irony of the struggle is that in the end, it is this unknowing that faith is all about, not placing our trust in ourselves, but elsewhere. Over the years, we have placed our trust in ideals, in transitory things, in God, in life. And even if we are not confidently sure of who God is, well, at least we know who or what God is not. I'll wrap up this sermon with excerpts from a memorable sermon by the preacher Tony Campolo. He taps out the difference between power and testimony. May it bring us a little closer to embracing our own tapestry of faith, creating a testimony. Campolo begins like this. While across the generations there has always been power, there has always also been the testimony of God's chosen ones. When the Hebrew people were enslaved, Pharaoh might have had the power, but Moses had the testimony. When the prophet Elijah confronted evil King Ahaz and the prophets of Baal, Queen Jezebel might have had the power, but Elijah had the testimony. As Jesus faced his opponents in Jerusalem, Pilate might have had the power, but Jesus himself had the testimony. My friends, let's not underestimate the impact of testimony in our day too, in bringing God's kingdom. Those who would say by their words or in their actions that there is no God might seem to have the upper hand, but we have a testimony. While we seek and search for our testimony of faith, we have the threads to weave together. Jesus is the prophetic voice who challenges those who would rail against the poor and oppressed. Jesus is a moral guide, directing us to engage with matters of charity and justice, law and mercy. Jesus is a wise teacher, using parables and real-life encounters to point out the way toward God and the kingdom. And Jesus is also the Anointed One, a beloved Son, risen in a special relationship to the God of faith. May these shards of wisdom and strands of truth be small but important pieces that can be collected and contribute to precious threads of many colors and textures to be used in weaving a tapestry we call faith. And the people say,